You can't see it from back here, but there's all these little dots all over the stage. It's where kids are going to be standing next week for the Easter program. They have been working so hard, practice and studying their lines and learning their songs. It's going to be a great week next week. Looking forward to it. Just in case there's any doubt, yes, this is Palm Sunday. And we really want to thank Jenny and Joni who came in this week and palmified us. We've been palmed. Yeah, it's really beautiful. Thank you. For several weeks now, we've been asking ourselves a series of essential questions. In light of the coming celebration of Easter, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, we've been asking some questions. The first one was who is Jesus? And more importantly, who do you say he is? Because it's not what your parents or your grandparents or what I say is. Do you believe that he is the Son of God, our Lord and Savior? We asked, am I accepted? Does God's grace and love extend to me? We're in this loving relationship. Before that, we asked, what matters most? And to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength. And the second is like unto it, to love your neighbor. And we are in this grace-filled relationship. Last week, we asked, what gives your life fulfillment, purpose? Jesus calls us to a life of service, not self-service, but serving others. And our lives are most fulfilled when we give ourselves away. This morning's question is, what about suffering? What about suffering? Now, I get it. It seems a bit odd to be thinking about suffering on a day in which we celebrate Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. If we were to have taken a snapshot of Jesus and the crowd that day, it would be easy to think that all is well and that finally Jesus is getting the recognition and the credit for who he is. But even in that idyllic scene of the triumphant entry, the shadow of suffering passes over him. In fact, I don't believe that there was ever a moment in Jesus' life that he was not aware of why he came to earth and the suffering that he would have to endure. The cross that he would one day face was always standing there before him. If you would, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27, and we're going to pick up at verse 27. Matthew 27, 27. Even on Palm Sunday, when the crowds welcomed him into Jerusalem with shouts of praise and joy, it would only be a few short days before this same crowd would call for his death. I really want to encourage you this week, come out, participate in the journey of cross. It will be set up in the fellowship hall. The dates or times are in your bulletin. But I want to give you a challenge to come and experience each of the stations and walk through this final week with Jesus. Reflect on what Jesus went through because of his love for you. But this morning, we're going to skip ahead a bit. We're going to skip ahead to the cross of Good Friday, although it wasn't good that first Friday. Here in Matthew 27, picking up verse 27. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him, and they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him and twisted together a crown of thorns. They put it on his head and put a reed in his hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spit on him. And they took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put on his own clothes, and they laid him away to crucify him. Skip down to verse 41. So also the chief priests and the scribes and the elders mocked him, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross, and we'll believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he desires him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over the land until the ninth hour, from noon till about three. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lima sabachthani." That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then verse 50, and Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. What about suffering? Jesus' crucifixion brings us face to face with one of life's biggest challenge, suffering. On Good Friday, we learn that your faith doesn't offer you a free pass from suffering during your life, your time here on earth. This surprises some folks. Somehow they've gotten the notion that this is the best life ever. But you're supposed to be protected from anything that would harm you. Somehow God is supposed to be all-powerful, and it's God's job to put a bubble of protection from us, around us, from physical, emotional, or spiritual suffering. So then when life does fall apart, many folks reject God because they think a loving God should have prevented suffering in the world, especially in their personal lives. Because there is suffering, they get angry at God. On this Sunday before Easter, the Sunday before Monday, Thursday, this Sunday before Good Friday and the cross. On this Sunday, we catch ourselves waving palm leaves and shouting Hosanna to Jesus as though we're just a hop, skip, and a jump to salvation. We are reminded that at the core of our faith is an executioner's tool. The cross is not a piece of jewelry or good luck charm. It was an executioner's tool, the cross. And there is a God who suffered for us, a God who was crucified by folks pretty much like us. I love that sound. Maybe because I've never been woken up by one like that in the middle of the night. Different perspective. We're reminded that God did this for us because that's how much he loves you. God suffers for you, and he suffers with you in Jesus Christ. That's the message of the Good Friday cross. There is a question so many of us have asked when we suffer, and that's, where is God? Where is God in my illness? Where is God in my pain? Where is God in my unemployment? Where is God when I face the reality of death? Where is God as I face a crumbling marriage, financial problems, as I lock a child in rehab? Where is God in my doubt? Where is God in my depression? Where is God in Syria in the midst of war? Where is God in terrorism and earthquakes and fear and hatred? Remember, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are three in one. We believe Jesus Christ is God. And if Jesus Christ is God, then God was crucified. God suffered. If Jesus is God, then it is God who is thrashed and scourged and humiliated by the Roman soldiers. It is God who is led to Golgotha to be crucified. What happened to Jesus also happened to God. No one took his place. God was sacrificed. God marched those steps down the Via Dolorosa, the way of suffering. God carried the cross. God was nailed to it. God was raised on the cross. God was mocked by spectators, ridiculed by the soldiers and religious leaders. God suffered for you. His suffering wasn't caused by his son, it was caused by his love for you. And today, God suffers with you through all your pain, whether it's self-inflicted by sin or caused by someone else, or just a result of the fact that we live in a fallen, broken world. That's the message we need to hear over and over again. Walking with Jesus isn't a stroll through Candyland. It's a trek through the valley of the shadow of death. And he is with us when we walk through that valley because he knows and experiences the suffering we live with. He knows what it is like to have hope tested, challenged, threatened, and taken to the edge of total loss. without hope in Christ, His promises that you will never be helpless and that nothing can ever separate you from God. Suffering is nothing more than suffering, but with hope, with the hope of the cross, with the miracle of a crucified God who defeated death, suffering can be endured. Our hope in Him undergirds us in every way. With the hope of the cross, our suffering becomes a journey to the love of Christ. It is the way of God. Out of our defeat comes victory. This is the crux of faith when faced with suffering in the world. The cross says that nothing can separate us from God's love in Christ our Lord. Paul would write it this way in Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. Paul would say this, "We boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint. Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit." Someone has rightly said, He will not protect us from what He will perfect us through. It is only in Jesus Christ we find hope in our suffering, because we know God's love has been poured into us from the cross. In Jesus Christ, God knows what suffering is. In Christ, God entered into our human condition and suffered the frailty of human behavior and betrayal. God suffered the excruciating death of the cross, and out of that human experience, Easter's resurrection hope was signed, sealed, and delivered. Death and suffering has lost their power. With that good news, with this good news, we know God is in the midst of our suffering. And He's there because He loves us. That's what we learn from the cross. That's why the cross is at the center of our faith. It's profoundly important for people of faith to remember that we serve a crucified God who understands our suffering. The older I get, the more important this reality becomes to me. Where is God? God is there when you hurt. God is there in the midst of your life's dust and rubble. God is there, whether it's havoc caused by human behavior or by weather conditions or the shifting of an earthquake happens. God is there. God is in the midst of it in our crumbling lives, holding the surviving pieces, saying, "Let's get this life back together." He's saying, let's resurrect it. Sure, it will never be the same as it was, but we can take these pieces and build a new life made of stronger hope, tested faith, hope, and love. You know, through the years, I have prayed with cancer patients and conducted too many funerals. We all know someone who's lost a child to an accident or to disease. Someone who's remained faithful to a spouse as a spouse slips away. Someone who's suffered a lifelong pain. I've seen plenty of darkness and suffering in people's lives, in my own life at times. But the cross of Jesus Christ tells us God is present in the midst of your suffering. And I've seen this with my own eyes. I've witnessed it in my own life. Good Friday affirms that God enters human suffering, works to relieve suffering, and ultimately redeems suffering with Easter's promise. The cross of Jesus witnesses to that, especially in suffering. God is present. We live in a culture that tries to make every attempt to deny suffering in every way. It tries to pretend it's not there. Whatever time is allotted to express grief's pain is never enough, because grief never really goes away. It just finds a new place where it can occupy the heart. The reality? Suffering happens. The reality? God knows this. The reality is that hope's core is an executioner's tool, the cross. It's out of the suffering God experienced on that cross that our heart, our hope, is grounded in our lives. This is the cross. On it, the sacrifice God made for us in Jesus Christ serves as a reminder of the bottom line of today's message. Although God does not prevent suffering, crucified God fully enters human suffering and works to redeem it by the power of the cross and the promise of the resurrection. It's my prayer that you experience God's comforts and strength in the midst of those times when pain and trials come. The cross declares that you are not alone in your suffering. You can live victorious through your trials if you hang on to Christ and His cross. Never let go of His never-ending love. Father, most gracious God, we thank you for the cross of Christ, that you entered into human suffering and that you enter into our suffering. That our hope is in you, the resurrected Lord, and the new life that is to come. You are with us through this valley. We pray, Father, that your Spirit would help us to hang on, to never let go of the truth of your love for us, for your grace and your mercy. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.